for my bragging or boasting, but for your benefit. I pray that you would get clarity and understanding. We try and put it out in such a way that you can understand and receive. With meekness, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. There's several passages of scripture I want to go to before we get to this, because we are going to come from that, just to reemphasize, because I know some don't read, some don't like to read. Somebody coined the phrase, I think it's a phrase or saying, if you will, if you don't want people to know anything, just put it in writing. But we were ordained by God to read. We were ordained by God to write. And the whole purpose of writing is for reading. To have throughout the course of time. The writing within the pages of our Bible are shielded, guarded, and protected by Almighty God. He told Jeremiah, he says, I hasten, I watch over my word to perform it. He told Moses, write this down. Write it down for the generation that is to come, that they may know. Write it down so that your children will know it and your children's children. And when they ask you questions about why you do this, then you tell them exactly why you do it. What you're commemorating, what you're honoring, the reason why you're doing what you do. God wants us to be able to convey to the next generation by the words of our mouth and also by the written word itself. He wants us to pass it from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Because if we don't, we'll have an ungodly generation that will come up. And they will start going after information that could lead to their destruction. We see today now, we see the influence of ISIS and how it's spreading. And even in the midst of an administration that could do a whole lot more, but is kind of like moving slowly in this manner. I believe to some degree to get the other nations to rise up, but it's like this. This thing is so dangerous, you can't wait for people to step up to the plate because it's spreading like cancer. And so you have Boko Haram over in Africa who has pledged allegiance to ISIS, which increases their numbers. They're all doing the same evil plots. They're all committing acts of barbarism. I think that's a word, or barbarianism, however you want to pronounce it. Heinous acts against human beings, innocent ones, where they're slaughtering them, beheading them, mutilating them, cutting off their arms, cutting off women's breasts. You know, they're just devastating our young ones, our little girls. When I say our, I speak of humanity across the world. Our little girls are being, you know, raped and sold and taken advantage of. And a whole lot of things are going on that you don't, especially if you have your head in the sand and say, well, I don't even want to pay attention to any of those things going on. You know, well, that's why God raises me up to inform you, because you may not want to take the time to pay attention to some of the things that are going on in the world. And how it impacts us, because we've got the answer. We've got the solution. We got the power. We got the authority. This earth is still our daddy's. The earth is still the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell in it. From those that are being persecuted, slaughtered, martyred, to those that are doing the persecution, the slaughtering, and the martyring. Jesus says, I love them all. I would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I didn't die just for your friend. I died for your enemy also. And would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Starting with kings and rulers and all that are in authority. That's what the Lord revealed to Paul, and Paul revealed to the church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for governing authorities. Pray that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence before mankind. And so that's our responsibility and our duty as believers, that we might see God move in the earth once again. And so we play a vital part, a vital role in this. Man can only go in the strength and might of man, but the church goes in the strength of the arm of the living God, the resurrected Christ. We go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Bombs can't do anything with the Holy Ghost. Am I making any sense? So we have a lot to do with what's going on. We can pray, we can seek the face of God, and we can also be out there witnessing, preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. This apostolic prayer connect that goes on every Wednesday, I believe it's strategic. We don't need numbers right now. We just need willing vessels in this hour. You know, it's not the how many you got coming. It's the how many we have going. It's the how many we have out there that are preaching the gospel, that are touching lives, that are changing lives, that are praying for people daily, that are standing in the gap, that are making a difference for the glory of God. We're trying to build God's kingdom and not our own. So with that being said, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. And then from there, we're going to go to John chapter 1. So we have a lot to do and a lot to say in a short time to get it done. The days of our lives are 70, if by reason of strength or grace we get 80 years. Nevertheless, may the Lord teach us and train us how to number our days and make the most of it, because our lives are like a vapor. We're here one moment and be gone the next. It's one of the turning points in my life personally. When our father, Minister Denise and Mines, died July 3rd, 1980, and it just happened suddenly get a phone call, and my mother tells me, your dad is dead, and I'm like, you're jiving. She's like, I wouldn't jive with you like that. Jiving is like playing around, joking type thing. I wouldn't play around with something like that. It was a turning point for me, because it's like, you could be here one day and gone the next. We had just had a conversation maybe a week or two ago and all seemed well. And that was the last conversation that we had together, sitting at his bar in his home and talking about life, talking about what happened when I was born and when I was like 1, 2, and 3 months and how we got to California and, you know, the reason he came out here and things of that nature. It was a turning point. Doctor saying that your sister has 50% chance to live, and we're thinking that she's going to go, but she doesn't go, but he goes. And it was a turning point. And it's like, from that point on, my life took a turn. And then I started looking up. Hallelujah. I grabbed that Bible that my mother gave me and started reading the letters in red and kept reading the letters in red and, you know, not even being afraid in the sense of people would say, oh, read the Bible, read the letters in red, it'll scare you. And I read, and they say, read the book of Revelation. And I read that and didn't get scared. One word scared me, and that word was fornication. And I didn't know what that word meant until I went and looked it up in the dictionary and got convicted in my heart because I was doing just that. That scared me. It's a turning point. Turning point. So we're here in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 1, and it says, God, Almighty God, who at sundry or various times and in diverse manners of ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And we all know his Son to be Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's why you can't let a person tell you Jesus is just like the rest of them. another teacher, another prophet, another dot, dot, dot. No, he's God. He's God, God, very God. He appointed him to be heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. Underline that in your Bible if you don't mind writing in it, or if you're taking notes, by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Lucifer had power, and God didn't strip him of that, but his power means nothing compared to the power of Almighty God. Lucifer was an angel. We believe him to be an archangel. Some teach that there were only three archangels. One was Michael, one was Gabriel, and the other one Lucifer. And as the story goes, they each had authority and rulership over other angels. Michael the warrior. Hallelujah. Michael the warrior, who will come to battle against the adversary. According to Revelation in chapter 12, it's Michael who's going to deal Satan his devastating blow. Then you had Gabriel. Gabriel the messenger, the one who came to Mary, the one who came to Elizabeth, the one who came to Daniel. He's the messenger who came. This is why we know he would never give up his place of prominency. He saw Satan fall along with Jesus. So he didn't have time to come visit Muhammad or even Joseph Smith, because I believe he believes he was visited by an angel. He didn't have time to come and teach them a different doctrine. We're talking about the one who made the worlds, Jesus. It's all there written in our Bibles. This is why the devil doesn't want us to read God's word. And he has people, pawns that he uses to try and discourage us from the reading of God's word. They try and discourage us by questions. Well, men wrote the Bible. And your response is, it wasn't just men. It was holy men. There's a difference. It's men who were sanctified and set apart to the work of God under the unction of the Holy Ghost that was giving them the words, dictating to them, and they were inscribing it under the power and influence of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Show us where they are. Well, I just know that it's full of contradictions. Yeah, but show us where they are. Well, I just know that there are. How about just a lack of your understanding? How about you not understanding what God has said? And the confusion lies with you, because my Bible tells me God is not the author of confusion. He's the God of peace. So he will unconfuse the confused and give them a heart of peace, that they might rest in the authority and power of his word. Hallelujah. So we see this written about Jesus. And when you read the book of Hebrews, you read how the Holy Ghost inspired, we believe, Apostle Paul. He might have had someone writing for him, he dictating to them and them writing down. How he compares Jesus. He compares him to Moses and the law of Moses. He's superior. He compares him to angels. He's superior. He compares him and everything. Jesus is supreme, sovereign. He is superior to all things. There's no one excuse me, like him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, being so much better than the angels. Lucifer was an angel. He's a demon now. He's Satan. He's adversary. He's everything against the nature of God and the power of God. Jesus supersedes them all. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we see, and I'll give you a chance to get there. And while you're going there, I'll read verse 5 to you. For unto which of the angels said he, at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Hallelujah. We have John chapter 1. The gospel according to John, or some say Saint John. It reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, which confirms what the writer in Hebrews says and also confirms what the writer, same writer, in Colossians says. By him all things were created, whether heaven and earth, in heaven or in earth, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were made by him and for him. And he is preferred before all things. In other words, he's preeminent. So he says, all things in verse 3 were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then we go down to verse 15, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You ready for the word? Hallelujah. So glad you are. In your bulletin, I didn't take you to this passage, but it's also in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God, or the word that God speaks, is alive and full of power. It goes on to say, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. This is why we don't want to give divided attention to the word, whether it's being preached or whether it's being read or whether it's being studied. We don't want to give divided attention. We want to give undivided attention. We want to shut our minds down, shut our thoughts down, and concentrate on what God's word has to say to us. The only book that you need in life to read truly is the word of God. All other books are just supplemental. But if you get God's word in your heart, don't worry about it if you don't understand everything. Just let it get in your heart and just pray. And the Holy Ghost, the helper, will reveal and unfold. And you'll have a testimony of your own from God and not borrow from the testimonies of others to try and help make you somebody that you're really not, because you really are an original. Hallelujah. And God's got something in store for you to do and for you to fulfill. And it takes you and him to cooperate together in order to make this thing happen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, crafted by the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He had plan, purpose, and intention when you came into existence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It may not have been the best of situations. Some were born out of rape, but nevertheless, they got here. Some were born out of incest. Nevertheless, they got here. Some were born under the covenant relationship of marriage, and they're here. What matters is that you're here. And the very fact that you have come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ lets you know that you were purposed by Almighty God in this earth, not for a failure, but for a godly success. Hallelujah. That's not none of this just, you know, kind of puff you up type. It is divinely ordained that you have godly success in what you do, because you are a word being fulfilled in its appointed time. There was a word spoken over your life out of the throne room of Almighty God concerning you. Hallelujah. So it says in verse 14, and the word was made flesh of John chapter 1 and dwelt among us. What God had ordained and spoken before the frames of the world. And we understand that by the word, the worlds, plural, were framed. The successions of time and ages were framed by the word of God. You came not at the wrong time. You came at the appointed time. And we ought to be thankful that God has enough confidence in us as the church of the living God to be able to withstand the onslaught and the attacks of the adversary and still hold fast to the truth of his promises that are written in his word. Hallelujah. He didn't think you would run and cower. He didn't think you would be fearful and afraid. He thought you'd be led by his spirit to the place he would have you, that you might believe God with unbridled faith, unreserved faith, faith full of confidence, boldness, ready to tear the enemy's head off. Excuse me. Anybody listening to me? Okay. So, the word is alive and full of power. Say that with me. The word of God is alive and full of power. Okay. King James says it like this. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick and powerful. The word quick means alive. Powerful deals with dunamis. So when that word comes to us, just take the word of salvation itself. When the word of salvation comes to us, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when that message of the gospel was spoken, faith was produced in your heart to believe and to receive that word come to you. And when that word came, it didn't consider your situation, your circumstance. It didn't consider the color of your skin. It didn't consider the neighborhood you were raised in. It didn't consider any of those obstacles. It did not consider even the sin that you had committed against God. It didn't consider none of those things. It was sent on a mission to produce faith within your heart and within your mind to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And it did not lose the power to save. It did not lose its power to save. You are saved right now. You are being saved even as I speak. And you shall be saved. But salvation is yours. Hallelujah. How you treat it is another thing, but it's yours. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't do anything to make God favorably give it to you, other than the fact that you believe God and he gives you salvation and he accounts you as righteousness as a result of your belief. Amen. Amen. So God's word didn't lose any power. It's the same word that, according to Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And ... on down through creation up to verse 26, where it says, and let us make man after our image and our own likeness. And God was just making things through saying. He would release the word and it would happen. And so here God is speaking and everything is coming to pass. So even before that happened, and God says, I got to send you, son, and you're going to die for the sins of the world. And you're going to take that and you're going to defeat it at the cross. You're going to die, but 3 days later, I'm going to raise you back up and you'll reign forever and ever. And all of those who put their trust in you are going to reign with us. The way we began this thing is the way things are going to end up. Glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's my word. He's a God of his word. It has to come to pass. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has to, because God said it. It would make him less than who he is. And so John said this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning. And so when we receive even the message of salvation, we're receiving the word of God into our lives. And that word just don't come in and then just be dormant. No, that word comes in to bring the life of salvation now that you've heard the message of salvation. It comes to produce the results of being saved. You once were a victim, but you're not a victim anymore, because I ain't saving you to be a victim anymore. I'm not saving you to hate anymore. I'm not saving you to be mad or angry. I'm not saving you to have temper tantrums. I'm not saving you for any reckless behavior. I'm saving you for my glory and for my honor and for my praise in the earth, that they may see what a good God I am. Hallelujah. And the word itself packs the power on the inside. That's what's in you. So when you let life push you around, when you let people push you around, when you allow thoughts and arguments, when you allow words by others to push you around, you're denying the power of God's word on the inside of you. The devil wants you to forget. He wants you to be ignorant, not know. Keep you in the land of not understanding. The very teaching, one of the first teachings that Jesus did, other than the Sermon on the Mount, was the parable of the seed sower. And this is all about the word. Because see, you're a word being fulfilled. God's word is to you, and God's word is for you. And it's supposed to be unraveled. That's the unraveling of your life, everything that God deposited in you. And if everything that's coming out of you is still a reflection of the world that he delivered you from, you're listening to the wrong word. You got the wrong word in you, ruling you. Am I making any sense to anybody? If God's word says you're the head and not the tail, then that's who you are. You're the head and not the tail. So don't go around acting like the tail. Yes, we walk in humility. Of course. That manifests the power and glory of God so that it may be seen. It's not us. It's God. The God that we talk about, speak about, and seek to glorify. So, God's word, and I know some of you heard this before, but it doesn't come to us and say, sorry, I can't work there. And the only requirement for God's word to work, it's faith. And the word itself produces a faith in you. So that now your heart becomes like a garden, that the seed of God can be implanted in it, germinate, and produce fruit. The whole thing of this is to find out who's operating on the inside of me. I got a due date. There was a word given from heaven for my due season to come to pass, and that time is now. What's hindering it?
This pregnancy ain't gonna be no. What do they call it when it's born premature? Premature. It's not gonna be a premature birth. It's gonna be a full term birth. And at its appointed time, it has to come forth. Can I use you, Sister Lamora? You remember? It's February 2013, a couple of years ago, and we were going through a difficult time, and not to bring up or rehash things, but we're going through a difficult time with the homegoing of Seraphim. And the Spirit of God said, it's long overdue for that job to come forth, because you were in interview processes at that time. Now, 2 years later, fulfilled. It's not my word, it's God's word. Hallelujah. You just see something you know is supposed to happen. It's like during praise and worship. When Deacon Aquino went into that song, Jesus, you're the center of my life. Or is that how it goes? Jesus at the center of, Jesus, you're the center of. The Holy Ghost took me over here and said, his name is Jesus. I call him Jesus, lifter of my, no, risen from the dead. It came clear before. You are the glory and lifter of my head. And I waited patiently because you don't have to push nothing. God will make room and opportunity for things to come to pass in its appointed time. And so, this is how it is with our God. So, at the appointed time, start to sing. And it start to rise. And so, with that being said, let me get back over here. I was making another point and it'll come back. It is a living, breathing word that has the power of fulfillment resident within itself. Your heart is the garden for the seed of God to be planted in. You understand why God wants you to love him with all of your, because your heart is the garden. Heart is the garden where the master can plant his word. And faith and patience are its nourishment. Throw some praise in there, and you just have a Holy Ghost party right in the midst of adversity, right in the midst of the discomfort, right in the midst of contractions, and right in the midst of pain. You can throw some praise in there and it'll just soothe it, and all of a sudden you and baby will get in line. Sister Lauren was sharing with me, Pastor, you know, I could put a certain song on, I could put it on Hannah, and she'll just start moving, and then she'll be still. And then when I put the music on, she starts moving. And you could put some praise on. And all of a sudden, heaven starts moving. And the word that's been planted in your heart and your spirit gets nourished. It's like you put some super glue on the stuff. All of a sudden, your eyes begin to see again, because it gets clouded by what you deal with and go through on a daily basis. But if you hold fast to the word that God has given you, it will come to pass at its appointed time in its due season. You don't have to push it. You don't have to force it. By nature, it's got to come forth. Hallelujah. 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 Talking about the God of all creation. Talking about the great I am. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and our end, the first and the last. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask of him. We're We're not talking about a God. We're talking about the one true and living God. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Born of a woman, a virgin. Born under the law. And he said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. Because none of y'all could. I'm talking about generations past, all the way to Adam, up to the current day. We can't fulfill it. So he fulfilled it for us. And says, now, just believe. What must we do in order to work the works of God? This is the work of God. You have to sit under Einstein. You have to discover the greatest theories in life. You have to know science. You have to know mathematics. You have to understand how everything is. You have to understand. He said, no, you just believe on the one that he sent. Ha! Just believe on the one that he sent. Why? Because that word that I plant in your heart, that word has the power of fulfillment packed in it. Hallelujah. Nurture that word. How do I nurture it? Nurture it with faith and patience. Faith, not only faith to believe, but fidelity, character. To act on this word. This word may come to you. The message of salvation comes to deal with all the power of the enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil in your life. That's what the message of salvation comes. To break Satan's strongholds in our lives. To deliver us from the power of evil. To deliver us from trying to work our way to God and believe our way on into God. That's how we're supposed to live. The just shall live by what? The just shall live by what? The just shall live by what? What produces faith? Come on, say it loud. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right now, your heart is being stirred up. Right now, faith is being strengthened, and faith is coming. You had faith to believe something things. Maybe it is something things. You have faith to believe God for some things, but now you will have faith to believe God for even greater things, because he takes us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. He's taking us higher in him. Now things that seem to be impossible, you now believe that they are possible. Why? Because the living word that's on the inside of you, the author and the finisher of that word, resides within you. Jesus is on the inside. He's not dead. He's alive. Living on the inside ought to be roaring like a lion. That's our lives. Our lives ought to be roaring like a lion. Why? Because Jesus is on the inside roaring. He didn't come to be buried in another tomb. I'll let y'all remember. You think about that for a minute. He didn't come to be buried in another tomb. I had enough of the tombs. I was in the tomb for 3 days. If no devil could hold me, what makes you think you're going to hold me? Let me loose. Release me. Hallelujah. We sing songs about freedom, 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 and Jesus, let me be free in you. Hallelujah. If Jesus didn't have a hold on me, I'd be having a shield up here, because I see stuff flying all over the place. And I'm just going to keep on going. Thank you, Sister Alden. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is the Word.
And he was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And now he dwells within us. And he comes not to go into another tomb, but he comes into our lives and in our heart. Okay, let's read this. We'll stop at the second paragraph. First conception or annunciation. A woman realizes that she's more than likely pregnant when she misses her cycle. Something happens other than the normal routine of things. Change occurs, and so she doesn't have that first, that she misses that cycle. And so nowadays, you can go to your nearest Walgreens, Longs, with some of the other stores. Rite Aid. Dollar Tree. Oh, praise God. That's like Walmart with Bibles. Dollar Tree. Okay, Dollar Tree. And you can get those EPT tests. And you can go home and you can sample them and see. You know, if it's whatever color it's supposed to be, smiles come on the face. And if it's not, then discouragement can settle in. But this is why you have to know that you have a word from God. You got to know that you have a word from God. Because disappointment, delay, sometimes even denial or rejection cannot abort the word that God gave you, that you allowed to rest and remain in your heart. You just said, no, okay, not this month. I ain't going on strike. Let's get on in here and do what we do, husband and wife. Keep going because you got a word from God. There were many who thought that their children were going to be the Messiah, both during Jesus' day and prior to. They thought that they were going to have the, they knew that the Messiah was coming, and they're of the lineage of Judah. They know he's going to come through the line of Judah. There were many others that thought that they, you know, we're going to have it, but it was Mary. It was Mary. So Mary gets pregnant, and we know the rest of the story. But sometimes that comes, and you can't be moved by that. No. No, I got a word, and I will hold fast to that word until it's fulfilled. Because God does not give empty words. Vain words, words that lead to no effect. How do we know this? He had a prophet by the name of Isaiah who prophesied in Isaiah chapter 55. He says, verse 11, he says, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void. You can stop right there and build your life on it. It shall not return to me void. Void is to no effect. Useless. Our daddy does not waste words. Neither does he try and impress us with the words. He don't have to. If it's not impressive enough that he spoke it, he's not going to try and butter it up and sure it up and do all of these other up things in order to try and really wow you. Now, he'll wow you with the manifestation. The manifest, whoa! Get ready for some more wows this week. Hallelujah. Get ready for some more wows this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I go by sight, I would say Jesus is residing in some caves with the stone rolled over it, and nothing that the word says is going to move that stone. But I'll trust him that his word does not go forth in vain. So he said through Isaiah, so shall my word be, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing that I've sent it. You read the rest of this post and you'll see it. The time between conception and birth is known as pregnancy. Pregnancy is also known as the gestation period or the period of development. It's when the thing is on the inside of you formulating. It has a due date, but it's developing. The conditions may need to be changed on the outside, and the conditions may need to be changed on the inside, but throughout the process, it's developing. I give to you different gestation periods depending on the species that was created. With an opossum, it's only like 12 to 13 days. My God. Mice is only 19 days. No wonder there's so many of them. An elephant is almost 2 years. Whoa, who wants to carry around? And with humans, 9 months. And in the process of it, it's developing. We know what it is. We got the word. The word tells us what it is. It's just as surely as when that pregnancy test is done, or when that doctor says, or when you miss that cycle and you go and they confirm what you've been believing for, you know you got a baby. Don't come telling me you got an embryo. You have an embryo on the inside of you. Oh, what? You have an embryo. Well, what's that? You have a baby. Hallelujah. Glory. Baby's got to form and develop itself. Hallelujah. I listened to Pastor Verna when we were at Radical One Conference. She shared something similar to this. I didn't extract from her message. I'm just speaking from the Word of God. But this is something that she shared. She said, if a woman has the baby right away, she'd explode. Because while the baby's developing, so's the body of the carrier. She's getting her body. You know, if all of a sudden, day one you're pregnant, day two, 9 month baby, 5 pounds, 6 pounds, 7 pounds, and her body has not, it would just mess her up. So her body has to go through this change and start. She no longer has her cycle anymore. If she has her cycle during that process, or if she sees blood, there's an instant emergency and we have to go see what's going on there. So when they say you're pregnant, you're pregnant. You got a baby. You ain't thinking about no. And it used to be the day and time where, you know, you might want a boy or want a girl, but you didn't have no ultrasound stuff, you know, going over you, jelly on the belly, and telling you what's inside there. Ladies have it so good today. Gestation period, development, depending on the species, it varies. And as I said, I gave you those stats of how it is. But nevertheless, something on the inside and your spirit is going on. Hallelujah. See, everybody wants their own personal prophecy. And mind you, there's nothing bad about that, so long as that personal prophecy finds itself in the alignment of the will of God for what he wants to accomplish in the earth. Because if you think daddy, and I know we've said it and rightly so, if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus still would have went to the cross for you, for your salvation. But Jesus didn't die just for Brother Randy. He died for Brother Randy, Sister Teresa, Brother Kwame, Sister Sharon's mom, Sister Sharon, Sister Bobby, Jeremiah, Deshae, Tracy, Joshua, Latika, Tim, Preacher Man, Ian, Jesse, Christus, Rocky, Lachey, Vincent, Monica, Brother and Sister Oliver, Brother Umana, Pastor Lucia, Dean Davis, Sister Savita, Malaysia, Sister Lauren, Brother Deontay, Deacon Patton. Is he going to name everybody? He's going after it. Sister Felicia and Sister, it's not Erica, what is it? Gabby, Sister Gabby. I had it at the beginning. Brother Finn, Sister Robriel, Brother Joshua, Sister Kaya, Little Bitty Joy Dominique, Sister Wallace, Sister Lamara, Sister Lori, Sister Letty, Minister Denise, Deacon Aquino, and yours truly, Pastor Killings. Did I miss anybody? No, okay. No, I didn't miss you, Joy. And whoever's in the back room, I can't see you because the blinds are closed. What do I mean by that? He died for all of us. The whole world could be saved. That's why, you know, don't try and live your life off of a personal prophecy. What do you mean? Isn't that God's word for me? Yes, it is. But it's in how it includes us in the body of Christ. Even in the instance, you can stand to your feet, I'm going to stop. Even in the instance of communion, taking a keynote, keep going. Even in the instance of communion, though the bread be broken into many pieces and shared amongst all of us, Christ is not fragmented. Not many Christ, still one Christ. But it is partaking of that bread that represents his body that brings us into his body. Does that make sense? Bringing us, unifying us in him because he's one. We serve one God. We have one Lord. And one spirit, one. So he's not doing things to have us way over here, away from his body and what he's doing. What he has us doing is to directly impact and affect the body in order that it may minister to the whole. Does that make sense to you? One body of Christ, and he gives us words that helps us to fit together. He gives us words to help us to fulfill the hope of his calling for his body and for his will to be done in the earth. Some might be a doctor, some might be a lawyer, some might be a custodian, some might be a construction worker, some might be a businessman, some might be a businesswoman, if you will. But it's all to impact the body so that we can accomplish his will in the earth. We unite in the family of God. The family of God doesn't get stripped and spread, you know, scattered all over the place. No, one God, one body. Am I making any sense? And that's what his word does. We may have different functions, but we're all a part of the same body. And so everything that the Father will do will benefit the body to make it more effective for him in the earth. He's not calling us to isolation. He's not calling us to separation in the sense of from apart from his will. No. We are one body. We're separated unto him for his glory. And the fulfillment of his will is our priority. Amen? All right. Read your bulletin. You'll get more out of it. I pray that it blesses you. It blessed me as I was writing and recording. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that what's been shared, Lord, has stirred up the hearts of many in this house, if not all. And that you be glorified with fruit that brings glory and honor to your name. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, you can meet us here at the altar. Otherwise, we'll be at the altar tonight praying, seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God. But greet one another and have a blessed supernatural Sunday and supernatural week. Amen. All right.